Hello, everyone. This is another episode of Introspection and Banter, and today I will be your host. I'm Zach.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Michael.
Today I'm going to start us off on just an off the cusp type of topic here. Type of thing is we're just gonna talk, and I want to talk about Unmatched, which is a card game slash board game that I've been getting into recently. I've been trying to put, some of my friends onto. It's a game that has a plethora of characters from folklore, stories, comic books, Spider-Man, so there's Marvel characters, there's characters from Jurassic Park, characters like, Medusa and Sinbad and King Arthur. And you can like pit them against each other, and you can use the deck of cards that you have that have attack values, defensive values, and scheme cards, which are like instant cards that you can use. And it's been a lot of fun so far. I played a couple of games today with my roommate, and that was a lot of fun. So, I don't know. Have you guys heard of this game?
I have, and I would just like to say for the viewers at home, today's episode, no topic. We're just talking about whatever we want to talk about. But going back to Unmatched, yeah, I mean you introduced me to it. That's how we know of it. The game, fun. Really is fun once you learn the basics. That being, you have three actions to take on your turn. You can either maneuver and like pick up a card, or you can attack, or you can scheme if you have a scheme card, which is very nice. You and me played. I beat you twice, which was very interesting because I. There was parts of me where I was like, I kind of feel like I'm not going to be able to, but it was kind of clutch.
Yeah, I'm sure with like Houdini you were a little surprised. You're like, oh, what? Because you're probably looking at the cards and like, okay, hold on, I literally, don't have any defense cards. I don't know how I'm gonna stop this. But then, you use some your magic, use some trickery there, and you're able to pull through with the win.
Yep.
There's so many characters and so many packs to collect and play, and you can play with really however many people you want. You can expand the board or flip the board over and play on different maps, and you could like it says 1 to 4 or 1 to 2 or however. Normally you have to have someone else to play unless you're getting the Tales to a Maze pack, which has its own separate campaign. Like you can play by yourself. And you have to take down Mothman and the other enemies, such as the Jersey Devil. And it's really cool. And you have to do it before Mothman is able to collapse all of the bridges on the map. So it's really cool. You get, some characters like Nikola Tesla, and the Golden Bat, which is awesome. I do not have that pack yet, but I look forward to eventually obtaining it and adding it to my collection. One of the cards that I've, out of all the cards that I've seen, that I think has been one of the like better cards, one of the best cards, is actually it comes from Sherlock and Watson, and it's just a pistol, it's just a gun, and it
Done.
just it made me laugh so hard. And because when it was used against me, it was just like, I use gun, and I'm like, but what's it do? And it's just like 5 damage, and I'm like, but what's the after effect? Nothing. It's a gun. I'm like, okay, I use
Yeah, I was playing against him when I was up at his place,
pistol.
and I don't remember, it was called like Revolver or something, and I used it, and he's like, well, what's the effect? I'm like, does 5 damage. It's like, well, what's after that? I was like, that's it. And he looks at the card, and he's like, what the hell? There's nothing on it. It just says revolver. I was like, yeah, gun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I like about the game, though, is that it's very wacky and very linear. Well, not whack and linear. It's out there. It's very out there. It's very, you have to really think about the cards and like how you want to maneuver And, you know, should you engage? Should you not engage? Sometimes there's cards that just completely negate what you're trying to do, which is, like, really frustrating to go against.
What I like about the game is the concept that you can, like, you can just have, like, almost any character, like, fighting. It's like, you want to have, like, a T-Rex, okay, fight against Sherlock. You know, go ahead. You're going to have a T-Rex fight against Sherlock today. You want to have King Arthur versus, like, you know, Achilles. Yeah, that's fine. You know, Invisible Man. You want to have Invisible Man versus a pack of raptors? Go for it, you know? And I think that's just really cool. It's like, you know, it's just like this, you know, if you had like an imagination as a kid and you're like, oh, what if this fight and this fight were to happen? How would this go down? You know, you can kind of like, you know, play with that in a sense. And it's always super cool to see how they, you know, make the characters come to life. You know, based on what I've seen, to me, it looks like they've done their research on the creation of the characters, the colors they use for the cards. You know, the special effects and the artwork on all of the cards looks really cool to me. The sidekicks the characters have, all of that to me, it all looks really well done. And that's something that I appreciate about the game. It's maybe a niche thing about the game. I don't know how other people feel, but I think that is a very cool, you know, that they put so much effort into it. Also reminds me of another thing. So, because I'm thinking of like a multiverses type of thing, there's obviously that a game, you know, a video game called Multiverses, that I, you know, got really into, and it should be coming out, I think, this year. They had taken it off of all the stores. It was a, you know, Warner Brothers game, and it had like Iron Giant, you know, Rick and Morty. It had, you know, I think the Tasmanian Devil. It didn't have LeBron James in the game. And I just, I like the concept that you could just have, like, whoever fight whoever, you know? So, that game was a lot of fun, and I played it a decent amount online with Anthony, and we were running the table for a little while. I was playing as the Iron Giant, and I was doing a pretty good job.
So, like, those creative freedoms when you're playing games, is that why you like D&D?
Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, yes, so playing D&D, the reason I like D&D definitely has to do with the character, you know, construction, because the idea of creating whatever I really want, you know, and just create it and be like, you know what, I want to play as, a, you know, gnome or warforged, or, you know, I want to play as a, I don't know, a furball, you know, I could play as, you know, there's so many different, you know, species or races, yeah, whenever you prefer, right? And because of that, and then adding on to that, you got the classes, the subclasses, you know, so you can get an in-depth character, you know, weight, you know, hair color, you know, you can write a complex backstory or not complex backstory, so. It's just like, I like the idea that I can just let my imagination run wild with it. And so I think that's really cool. I like that. I feel like the character is, you know, more of my own.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I suspected. I've only been playing it, or I only played it with you guys for a couple weeks. Well, Michael wasn't in that campaign, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, D&D is always going to be something that's, like, just tons of fun to play. Especially with the variety. And that's the same thing with, Unmatched. It's like, oh boy, who are we going to play as now? Well, we're going to go Bloody Mary versus Spider-Man.
It's like, yes, right?
Oh boy. Oh, speaking of D&D, they released a new book.
They did?
They did. They released, one of the things, like, called the Homegrown Humblewood. That's it. They released the Humblewood, which is contains more like creatures and and like playable subraces for like owlins and stuff. it's going to be exciting. It is going to be quite the time. Speaking of D&D, favorite spells?
Liam's Tiny Hut.
You just like it because it keeps you safe, doesn't it? Don't have to worry about outside shit.
I mean, it's pretty cool. Also, Moonbeam.
Moonbeam is also pretty cool. But Moonbeam only is, like, ever really good, like, unless they have a mirror. Then they deflect it.
And then they deflect it.
Then suddenly you get hit with Moonbeam. And it's okay. Not as fun anymore.
Dimension Door.
Dimension Door is the pog spell. And I refuse to believe any other way. Like, teleport's one thing, but the ability to just, like, go through a door that's, like, purple. It makes me feel like, you know, going into the nether. And then just casually walking out, like, that is something else entirely. That's a vibe.
How about you? What are your favorite spells?
The ever-classic Fireball.
Fireball.
Fireball is always a classic.
Fireball.
I mean, you can't, like, that and Healing Word. Healing Word, the ability to just, like, if your friend goes down, just shout something at them. And then suddenly they just magically stand back up. It's a nice thing. You know, whereas other spells are like, you have to actually walk on over and like lay on hands, for instance. Like, I have to purposefully disengage, walk over, heal you. It's like, no. Bonus action. Fuck.
What are your thoughts on Toll the Dead?
Okay. So for those who are out of the loop as to why he just said that.
I'm out of the loop.
You're out. I'll explain this. So in my current D&D campaign, one of the characters I'm playing at was originally a ghost, and one of the spells he was vulnerable to was Toll of the Dying. Because for those who are unaware of the spell, Toll of the Dying. Where is it? Where is Toll of the Dead? No, Toll of the Dead. My bad. Toll of the Dead was a cantrip, and you must succeed on a wisdom saving throw, or just take like a bunch of damage. So basically, the DM would basically keep trying to kill me whenever I would like pretend to be poisoned, because my character couldn't really be poisoned because he was a ghost. It was very hard for him to be poisoned. Because he was a reborn. So he just kept casting that and fear and other clerical spells. And I'm like, stop. Why do you do this to me? It was awkward, to say the least. I still hate his character. And like a frenemy type of vibe of like, scares an asshole. I mean, I'll still defend them from attacks, but they're an asshole.
another spell that's pretty cool is Wish. I just thought about that. I was like, you know what? Wish is a pretty good spell. You had to, you know, level 9, but...
You have the item Spider Slippers and the spell Reverse Gravity. You can keep sending them up and down. It doesn't matter because you're stuck to whatever it's kind of does the ceiling. It's one of those nice things of just going, hey, you're just gone now.
Wait, really? Like, you can just kick them off the planet?
Spider, well, not like that.
Okay.
But if you're in, like, a cave, right? So what Spider Slippers allows you to do is it allows you to stick to surfaces, right? So you could basically, like, climb up a wall, right? Just using these slippers. So I reckoned... Because it allowed you to climb surfaces and stand on surfaces, like you could stand on the ceiling, if you just reverse gravity centered yourself, all your opponents would then just go up in the air, right? Or in this case, crash against the ceiling, and you'll be fine. And then they'll come back down, and they'll be prone, and you can just kind of wail on them again. Until they stand up, and then you just send them back up again. Easy KO. It's one of those. That's what I love about D&D as well. It's just the combination of spells just like, oh, we're just gonna do these things with these items. It's like, oh okay.
One time I was playing in a campaign, and we all walked into a room, and the room started filling up with sand, and we needed to, like, get through the door. Somebody said, I'm gonna cast Fireball. Okay. The room filling up with sand. So what happens with sand heats up a lot is it turns into glass. Okay. My character died because I got stuck in glass. I was in a giant glass block. Okay. I was like, are you kidding me? So I was like, why would you do that? So some of them others got stuck too, but they weren't like their full body. I got my whole body stuck in glass. So I was like, what the heck?
That is always something that's always going to be a bit annoying, is like you get punished, but like the other people don't because they have something that you don't. And it's like, well, fuck. You know, well, this shit. Ain't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where like this just sucks, but it's whatever. It's what you can do.
Yeah.
Speaking of what you can do, Scooby-Doo. What movies are coming out? What's hidden?
Madam Web, I think.
I heard that was terrible.
Madam Web, yeah. I heard great things. I haven't seen it myself, but that's from her. I haven't heard great things. But they are coming out with Deadpool and Wolverine. Trailer dropped. Pretty good trailer. Very excited.
Is that the official title?
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
The official title.
Okay.
We finally got a casting for Fantastic Four, the movie. We got a release date when that's coming out, and we can understand that it's probably going to be in 1963-ish. Pedro Pascal will be Reed Richards.
I can't wait in the year 2030 when everything is just replaced by Pedro Pascal.
Right?
It's still fun.
We also got a look at X-Men 97. Which is going to be a continuation of the 1997 X-Men TV show. And it's going to continue from where the show left off. And it's in the same, you know, similar art style that the 90s TV show ran in. So,
One with the really good animation?
Sure. I haven't really seen it. So,
I don't know. I got to look this up.
Well, to come up with that. We are hearing
Band of Four?
Because of Fantastic Four, we obviously know that they're going to be looking for a Doctor Doom. Supposedly, there's two people that they were looking at. Henry Cavill. Really, that's his name? Henry Cavill? Henry Cavill?
Yeah, Henry Cavill.
Okay. And Cillian Murphy. Those are the two people they're looking to play
Doctor Doom. Honestly, I hope give it to Henry. Henry is one of those actors that I just absolutely love because he loves playing his roles. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just if it's something knee deep and nerdy, just give it to the man. He's going to love it. He's going to run away with it. He's going to find something to do with it.
Personally, I don't know. I thought Cillian Murphy. I'm not saying that Henry Cavill, you know, he isn't going to be, good at a role, because I think, you know, Henry is a great actor, and I think there might be other roles. People wanted him to be like Captain Britain or something like that. But for Doctor Doom, I was like, Cillian Murphy, saw him in Oppenheimer, did a really good job. So
I kind of agree. Like, I'm thinking Cillian Murphy going from Oppenheimer to Doom, that might work well.
And you know, he was also Scarecrow in Batman. Did a really good job there. So I'm just like, oh, Cillian Murphy. I'm thinking. Now, I did hear that Henry has signed on for a role in the Marvel Universe. We don't know what he's playing, but supposedly he did sign on to do a Marvel movie. We don't know what movie or what character, but that's the what I heard. So, you know, supposedly, you know, there's a lot of things going on, you know, in the friggin' Marvel universe. And I'm excited for whenever they do their next big showcase to show off what the phases are going to be. We might, supposedly we might be getting a Midnight Suns movie. So excited about that. You know, Blade movie's coming out. We got Thunderbolts. So that's going to be coming out. We're going to get Red Hulk, hopefully. You know, hopefully get Red Hulk.
Thunderbolts, really anything cool. Like Thundercats?
No, no, it's not.
Thundercats.
And more importantly, Red Hulk will be, you know, who is going to be played by none other than Harrison Ford. So, because Thaddeus Ross is the character and the actor that had played Thaddeus Ross in the previous Hulk movie sadly passed away. So they got Harrison Ford to become Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross.
Hey, cow, so, isn't he 80?
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford is a whopping 81 years old. Yep.
And he's going to play
42, damn.
So yeah, we're going to get him and I want to see his Red Hulk form. I want to see it. I want to Harrison Ford's face on the Hulk. So
it's going to be quite the movie mashups.
Oh, we got X-Men now. They're obviously in the MCU now. So that's awesome. So you got X-Men, you got Deadpool, you're getting Thunderbolts. You're getting Fantastic Four, you know, like, I saw some memes and people, and the memes were like praising the MCU actually, and not like discrediting it. They're like, oh snap, Marvel's actually doing something really cool right now. And I was like, yes, they are. We're getting Blade. Come on, this is awesome. We're getting, you know, Deadpool and Blade are going to be in like the same movie maybe at some point, and that'd be awesome. We're getting Daredevil. There's a Daredevil TV show that's coming out. We got an Echo TV show that just came out. That was awesome. We got to see Daredevil's new suit. That was really cool. I'm hoping they come out with a Punisher TV show so you can add Punisher to the MCU.
Another?
They came out with the Netflix show, right? And yeah. But they need to come out with a new one or like a, put them in a movie or something like that. Actually add them to the MCU, right? Because the Defender saga is prior. Now it is canon to the MCU. Like this, you know, they had said like, oh, the Defender stuff, you know, but it's the fact that if they make a new show like Daredevil Reborn, that's going to actually include maybe some characters from other shows in, you know, the MCU, right? So I would love it. I would love it, right? If they bring back Moon Knight, they like Moon Knight and they get like the Punisher or like Ghost Rider and like Blade, like all these people just in a movie. That'd be sick. That'd be so awesome.
All right, so I was looking at movies just now that are coming out, and Borderlands movie. Have either of you guys heard that this was coming out?
Yes, they're having Kevin Hart, I believe, play Roland.
Yeah.
They're having Jack Black in the movie playing as Claptrap, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I see it kind of being a flop, honestly. I don't see it going well. Hold on. Let me look at the cast listing for Borderlands, the movie. Bobby Lee is Larry. Kevin Hart is Roland. Gina Gershon is Mad Moxie. Yeah, how do I put this? I know that the movie was coming out. I knew it was kind of in a bit of a... We don't quite know what's going on with this. I'll be curious about it. I think they're gonna, frankly, go a bit too over the top with it and just try and make it just like a very funny movie. And it's just, I think it's gonna fall flat.
It's too early for me to give an opinion like that. Hope it goes well, but I can't really say for sure.
I'm calling it. And if it comes out, I'll purposefully go out and look at it. If it actually turns out to be a really good movie, I'll make a statement here on the podcast.
I got a question for you guys, but I mean, is that all you had to say on that?
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, it's gonna flop.
What are some of your favorite movies?
See, I'm a classic man myself, and that kind of also angered Zach a little bit when we went through like movies.
He hasn't seen a movie before 2010. I don't know, or like you know, after 2010, every movie he's seen was in like 60s, 80s. I don't know, like 90s. Like he hasn't seen any up-to-date films at all. Okay, like I swear.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. I've seen that.
Yes, but like I was going through the list, and you were saying movies I've never heard of. I was like, upset what?
Because I didn't watch Avengers, like Endgame. So I was like, I don't really keep up with the Avengers.
That's because I listed like the top 10 movies of like all time, and you're like, I haven't seen like any of those. And I was like, what?
Like Endgame was a phenomenon. Like I just knew everybody had gone and seen that movie around the same time. Everyone did.
I think it was more of a FOMO type of moment. But like, if you didn't see Endgame, like, what were you doing with your life? You know? And I was just like, well, I've seen Avengers. Whenever that came out, that was cool. And then, like, you know, Netflix and Disney Plus and all that happened. And I was like, I'm not really gonna keep up with all this. And like, there's 7 plot plan that you have to watch, like 17 different one season shows to follow up on.
They've been doing this stuff since I was literally 10. I've been following the MCU since I was 10 years old. Okay.
Just too late now.
Okay. They have come out with a ridiculous amount of movies. Okay. Like we're on phase 5. We're going to be on phase 6 at some point in like the next 2 years, a year or so. So it's, listen, I'm going to be like, dude, it's gonna be so long, man. It's gonna be so long. They're gonna keep going. They're gonna keep coming out with them, and I'm gonna keep watching them. Because I'm a Marvel dude. I like Marvel movies. But movies I really enjoy, The Grand Budapest Hotel. It is an amazing film.
It is an amazing film.
I love it. I watched it as just a kind of like because I heard of it, right? You know, me and Anthony both watched it, and we kind of watched it, just, you know, we've kind of heard things. We actually both talked about it at some point. We had seen the trailer, and the trailer does not do the movie justice. Literally, you don't know anything about the movie, right? It's just like, you watch the trailer, and it's like, what is this? Okay. And I wasn't too entranced by the trailer. You watch the movie, and it's like, you know what? That is a phenomenal movie. Another movie, Oppenheimer, thought that was amazing. What else? Some of the other movies. Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also Airplane.
Airplane is one of those movies that I could keep watching time and time again and still get a good laugh out of it.
I don't know.
Oh, I really enjoyed Creed. Like Creed 2. I watched Creed 2 like a lot. Watched that a lot.
Airplane was a comedy movie released in, I think, the
80s? Oh, it's the one with the
yep.
baseball twisted like an airplane.
Yes. It is one of my favorite movies. I can always watch that and get a laugh. Because it's so silly. And it's also just has that nice, like, serious undertone to it. The jokes always hit. They always land. I'm never sitting there feeling like, damn, like, all these jokes would have been great if they were separated, but they're all together making it worse. It's like, no, all these jokes are perfect. Perfectly placed, perfectly everything. It's a nice comedy movie.
I think I've seen parts of this.
You probably have. It's very popular. One of the big scenes you probably have seen has been there's a man, his name's Ted Stryker in the movie, and he sweats profusely and like is basically like pouring down rain Yeah, you've probably seen this gif of just sweat just dripping down. And he just wipes it off. That's a very common gif.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And in fact, the bio for my Discord is one of the lines from the movie. It's, wait a minute, I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's like, no, my name is Richard Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot. Fuck. Airline pilot. And so is Spy Kids. But Spy Kids are like okay. More because it's a trip.
That's a weird one. Like, I'll give you this, like, bit of a cult classic. I've probably seen them a dozen times. What the fuck were those movies, though? Let's...
Spy Kids is one of those I won't watch, like, religiously. Like, yeah. If you're like, oh, what is the one movie? But it is one of those movies where I'm like, I have to acknowledge not only the small cult following that it has gained over the recent years, but just the acid trip that this movie was on and some of the banger lines that just came out of it. Of like, do you think God lives in heaven because he too fears what he has created? And it's like, this isn't a kid's movie. Why is this in a kid's, like, if you were telling me, like, oh, that's an adult, like, you know, philosophical type of, like, characters trying to find their place, etc. type of movie, okay, perfect, makes sense. This is a kid's movie, and it's coming from a man who just rode in on a pig, and in the next scene, going, did someone call for the Dinkster? And it's like, what? Were these people on? Why? What is this movie?
I've seen the third one way too many times. Like, probably 20 times.
It's because it was really popular on, not Nickelodeon. Cartoon Network.
Oh, okay. It was I mean, I saw it on there a couple times. We also owned them at my house.
The only reason why I bring up Spy Kids is because, in fact, sitting next to me is a 3-DVD set of Spy Kids.
Okay, you've gone too far.
I saw it in a discount bargain bin at Walmart, and I was like, I have to get this. Like, I can't let this... I also have a copy of James and the Giant Peach. The Disney film...
That's a good one.
I got this because this is not only a nostalgia film, but this is also one of those films where I'm like, I felt if I had blinked, it was going to be gone from the shelves. And just a random memory in my mind that I was going to be like telling my grandkids about and just being like, yeah, you know, I remember that one movie about this random giant fruit and this child that was in it. There was a spider that was, like, kind of French and kinky. Oh, I don't remember about it. And they were going to be like, Grandpa, go take your fucking meds. And I was going to be like, all right. But no, I own it. I own it now. Because I was like, I can't let this get away from me. And then, of course, I bought Everything Everywhere all at once. Because it was a really good movie. I started that... Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Breakfast Club. I actually own the DVD copy of The Breakfast Club because I love it. I love that. I love Godfather. That's always a classic.
I haven't seen The Godfather.
It's very slow.
Yeah, I own the trilogy.
Yeah, people sit there and go like, oh, it's a fantastic movie. It's one of the greatest movies. And it's like, it's a good movie. It is just a lot of talking. Like, the plot is interesting. The plot is nice. The dialogue is very well written. But if you're coming off of, like, action films or superhero films, yeah, you're gonna have a rough time with The Godfather. Up until the ending of one. The ending of one, a lot of stuff happens very quickly, and you're kind of thinking, like, why didn't they do this before? But I'm not going to spoil anything beyond that. However, like I said, it is a slow movie. You're going to be sitting there for quite a bit, just like, yeah. All right. Oh, next scene. Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah, fascinating. Cool. And, like, that's it. That's literally, it's like, I just witnessed four scenes of just talking, more talking. And I know people are already going to be like, but that's the point of the movie. It's the dialogue's meant to carry it. And I'm not saying the dialogue is bad. I'm just saying, like, if you're coming off of other films where there's nice breaks of action and dialogue, it is a slog.
You guys seen Interstellar?
Nope.
I think I might have actually. Let me look it up.
Isn't that the Matt Damon movie? Let me think of Mars.
Let me think of Mars. I might have seen it.
It's got, I can't think of his name. McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. It's by Christopher Nolan. And he travels through space because in the future, everybody is farming crops because the Earth is dying. And he's a former astronaut. And they send him off to go find another planet.
Yeah, I think I might have seen this.
It is such a movie. I remember the first time I watched it, I was supposed to be doing homework. And it was a remote dropper. I had to finish watching that movie right then and there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure I saw it. Remote dropper. I like the way you describe that.
So my question, is there any games that are coming out that you guys are interested in?
NCAA! Yes, let me tell you about the college football game coming out this year in the summertime. I'm excited for college football to come back in a video game format.
I'm very weary about it, solely for the fact that I'm afraid it's going to be a reskinned Madden, just with college elements. I'm very nervous. I desperately want to see gameplay because I want to be wrong.
Did you see the trailer they dropped?
I saw the launch trailer.
The teaser trailer?
I saw the one with, I think it was like, I don't remember who it was, but like they're in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I saw the, because they went about like showing off like the helmets and stuff and like the intros. And that's why I was like, this feels very Madden. It's very much like this just Madden but reskinned, and I'm very worried.
Mm-hmm.
Any games coming up that you're like, this one in particular?
I don't think so. I don't even really play too many new games. I'm a classical games guy. Man, I just want to play Persona 3.
You just want to play P3 Reloaded?
Yeah.
How do you feel about them not having the answer as a part of it?
Having the what?
The answer.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
So, Persona 3 FES, when it came out back in like early 2000s, it included the story, the base game, which is called The Journey. And then afterwards, it included the answer, which is basically the aftermath and all the conclusions to the story, etc. But since you don't know what that is, then let me ask, if you had to put in one thing for Persona 6, what would it be?
Like, something to keep?
To like, change? Yeah, like something that, like, you're in the dev room and they're like, okay, we know you've played a lot of Persona 5. I'm not sure if you played Persona 4.
No.
Okay. Like, you play a lot of Persona 5, and you're like, alright, well, we're making Persona 6. What is, like, the one thing you're like, yeah, this feature, change this. From Persona 5.
Gosh, let's see. I liked a lot of it. The beginning was really slow. That might be understandable, though. I didn't play not Reloaded, but Royal. But there wasn't enough for me. Like, I wanted more fights to do after the initial game. Because after you beat the game, you could fight the big boss fight, which was Justine and Coraline. And that was it. Like, that was the hardest fight in the game, pretty much. And I beat them. And then the only thing left was to just get some basic achievements, which was pretty difficult. But as for boss fights, I just wanted more boss fights. Like, I want a boss run.
I need to give you my copy of Reloaded. Not Reloaded, Royal. Yes. So I thought you had played other Persona games, so I was like, that's why I asked that question. But no, like, Reloaded, I heard, is great. It's pretty good. Some people are hating on it because it doesn't have the end stuff or, like, the particulars. And it's like, yeah, but, like, it's a remake of the original P3 story. Frankly, I'm just happy to have it and not have to run it off of, like, emulation.
So, yeah, like, the graphics are nice, I agree with that. Up. Oh, yeah, I'd probably be, like, the older engine, like, the HUD for those games was kind of basic, so I'm happy they cleaned that up.
I get the feeling, for me, my game that I'm particularly, like, looking at has been The Plucky Squire. It's going to be such a good game. It's not going to win, like, Game of the Year. But it's going to be very, very high up there. The point of the game is you basically play as a character who has a pen as a sword. And you go about to different, I'd say, realms. Like, you come out of your storybook. And then you go into different storybooks. And you help the characters in those stories defeat their villains and their creatures, etc. And it's an RPG that I'm like, this game is gonna, it kind of, I guess the best way to compare it to would be like Little Big Planet. And like, this game is gonna be fantastic when it comes out. I think a lot of people are gonna end up playing it.
I did think of one more other game, by the way.
What's up?
Hades 2, because I loved the first one.
Never played the first one.
Roguelike, you just run through doing dungeons, go to the next one. The ending boss fight is the biggest pain in the ass, but worth it to get through.
Not a lot of games on my radar, personally.
Same, honestly.
Like, even as I'm looking out here on the list, South Park Snow Day coming up. I am curious about how that's going to play out. Subnautica 2. And then a couple Star Wars games. Shouldn't be too bad. Until Dawn is getting a remaster. How do you feel about that, by the way?
What, remasters?
Yeah. Especially of games that, like, came out, like, not too long ago.
Like the Last of Us remaster for PlayStation 4, and then PlayStation 5.
And then PlayStation 5 again.
I don't have a problem with remasters. I think that, I mean, it is interesting when there is a game, and it just comes out, like, it was on PS3, or now it's on 4, and now it's on 5. And it's like, so they're just carrying this game over. Okay. You know, it is kind of interesting, but it's also cool for people that are really into the franchise. It's also keeping the game alive for, you know, new generations of gamers, you know, new players, and building that fan base, right? So I think it is, you know, there's a definitely a market for it.
I think it's a tough conundrum, remasters. You want to play the game. You want to enjoy it like you did before, show it to new people. Maybe you never got into the franchise. But then you get something like the GTA trilogy remastered, and it's not a passion project for them. At least it doesn't seem like it. They just want to make money and give the audience what they want. Because people want to play the original games. They don't want to bust out the PlayStation 2. They want to play them on the Xbox with new graphics, and it's trash.
I think it's because they went too far with the graphics. Like, they made everyone look cartoony.
You don't need to do that.
It's like, yeah, like, I agree with you. You know, remaking it for the newer ports is perfectly fine, right? Unless, like, you know, the game came out, like, not too long ago, and Last of Us. It's like goddammit, Naughty Dog. Make something else, please. But, like, Demon's Souls was fantastic, because you couldn't get it. The Grand Theft Auto trilogy was an absolute train wreck, because they took assets that were used from their iPhone stuff and just ported that over, and just they're like, yep, this is our game.
I heard about that. It was a buggy mess too.
Oh yeah, because they didn't care. They're too busy milking GTA 5. They're riding off of the back of GTA Online, and that was it. Speaking of online, what's our opinions on battle passes? Do we think it's like better? Worse?
It's kind of weird. Like, so I don't really play too many live service games anymore. Overwatch was the last one I was really big into. And then around the same time that they integrated battle passes, I stepped away from the franchise. I just didn't like where it was going. Wasn't as much incentive for me to play. I like them, but I don't. They're not for me.
Zach, how about you? I know you were big into Diablo 4. That got Battle Pass.
Battle Passes definitely are in like a gray area of a sorts. They're all right. I don't know. So here's the thing. Live service games, I think there's a way to do them and a way not to do them. And I think it's just interesting when you take a game that wasn't a live service game before, you know, it's like, oh, you know, talking about Diablo, like Diablo 1, 2, 3, you know, these weren't really live service games. And then they make it up, boom, and now it's an only online game, right? Like Payday 3, for instance. Okay, right. That is a live service game, right? Because you got, you know, of the only online, you could only play it if you're online, and you know, the way they update it and stuff like that, and like Battle Pass stuff. And it's definitely adds some aspects to the game that make it maybe likable for some, unlikable for others. Again, it's I don't necessarily hate them if it's done right or in a good enough way. But it is also kind of like upsetting that like you can only play the game online. You can't play it offline. You need internet to play this game. Also, because it's online, one day you'll not be able to play the game anymore. Right? It's like if I wanted to play Diablo 3, okay, it's offline. Okay, I could just put the game in and play Diablo 3 and have my stuff. But I can only play Diablo 4 if I have internet and if the servers are up and running. So that's the problem there. With live service, but in battle passes are right. Like I said, I think the idea of like, you know, cosmetics and, you know, and not getting items that will, I guess, help your player, you know, in a sense of like XP or whatever. If it's just like strictly cosmetic items, then that's fine.
Personally, the only time battle passes are perfectly acceptable is if they give you the chance to go back and fucking complete them. I'm so angry that so many games are like, well, you missed out on the season. It's like, I was busy, or I was just not interested in your game. And it's like, oh, well, you've missed out on these skins. And I know that's the entire point of the battle pass, is like to get you playing. But like, if you're busy, right? If you're busy working and like you don't really get a chance to kind of sit there and play, it's like, then what's the point of me going out and buying your premium battle pass if I'm not, you know, able to get everything from it? You know,
it, It's weird. Like, part of me feels like I don't support them a whole lot. Because if I enjoyed the game, I'm going to play it regardless of a battle pass.
I mean, yeah. And it's the same thing with, like, live service games. It's like, I'd rather much not play a live service game. Because I'm like, well, this is going to end, so what's the point of me, like, sinking so much time into this game just for me to sit there and go, well, it's been 4 years. They've published another couple of games. This one's shutting down. Like with Payday 2, for instance, or Payday, not Payday 2, Payday 3. And that disaster. Oh my god. To be fair, Payday 3 is an entirely different array of entirely different problems.
What else we got going on?
What else we got going on? Video editing. My new job and hobby and trying to get done with introspection and gaming. By the way, when are you guys joining me for introspection and gaming? When's that happening?
I mean, I'm usually free on the weekends. Weekdays are iffy for me.
Depends when you want to do it and what you want to play. So I don't really have a lot of games that I can play on my PC right now. So
got a lot.
So for the folks at home, we're attempting to expand and to do more things because we're starting to kind of pick up and become active again. And in fact, I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit here. I hope you guys don't mind. It's only been like a week since we recorded our last episode. And the time we recorded before that episode, which should be... I don't know. The last episode we recorded was The Future. The episode before that was AI, I think. And that was, like, last year in, like, May. So we've actually been playing pretty good ball for these past 2 weeks of, like, coming up with content and coming up with ideas and things. So it's... We've been trying, folks. I promise you, we're hopefully going to come out with more stuff. It just depends on what we can do on our end. How do you guys feel? How do you guys feel about more things?
I mean, I've always been a fan of more things. It's just had issues with time commitment as well. When it's just me and Gabe, it's hard because it falls on either me or him, you know? And if, like, one person can't do it, and the other's like, oh, okay, you know, we'll take care of it later. It's hard when it's two people. But yeah, no, I'm fine with more things.
Zach, yeah. How do you feel about more things?
Hey, more content? That's pretty good. I mean, with, you know, more content, more things, you know, coming out, that, and, you know, that means more engagement, more involvement, more activities, you know, games to play, conversations to be had. And I think that's really cool. I like the idea of, you know, having fun with it.
Yeah, currently I'm playing through. I don't know what's gonna come up first, introspection in gaming or this episode on shenanigans, or whatever we want to talk about, the banter part of introspection and banter. But hopefully, I'll have the Halo Master Chief Collection, like most of it done and ready to go. By the time this episode comes out. So, congratulations, people, on our YouTube channel. You're going to be hearing a lot more of me. Whether that's good or bad, we'll leave it up to the likes, dislikes to decide. But no, yeah, we're trying to get more content. We're trying to do more.
Stepping away from that for a moment, did you guys know that apparently they're coming out with a Beverly Hills Cop 4?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I just found out.
I did not know that. I was
like, whoa, that's awesome. That's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, oh. I guess it's coming out in July 3rd, right?
They're making Bad Boys 4.
They're making Bad Boys 4. Oh.
Back to the Future 4.
They're making... Wait, really?
Ghostbusters 3.
I know they're making a Goose... Beetlejuice 2.
No, it's called Beetlejuice Beetlejuice.
Yes, but it's supposed to be like Beetlejuice 2, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to say it 3 times.
Then that summons him. It doesn't work. Yeah, I didn't know they were coming out with a Beverly Hills. That seems kind of weird, honestly. Because, like, Beverly Hills 3 was released in
the 90s.
Yeah. And now it's, like...
A little surprising, I'd agree. Especially Eddie Murphy. He's older, I think.
Eddie Murphy, definitely getting there.
He is 62.
Yeah. Oh,
that's not bad.
I think they're definitely going to hand it off to someone else. Like, I think Eddie Murphy is going to be there as, like, a... Like, the I'm about, like, 2 weeks before retirement. And then you have this young guy come in and run everything.
I mean, there's no guarantee that's going to happen. They didn't do that with Indiana Jones. And I expected them to do it.
Yeah, they're coming out with a Bad Boys 4, and that'll come out June of this year.
So they're also coming out with a motherfucking Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix. That's going to be a disaster.
Wait, so Michael, you don't watch movies, do you watch shows?
Depends. I've been watching Venture Brothers.
Anything else? That's kind of niche.
Abbott Elementary.
Is just Adult Swim Channel stuff?
At Abbott Elementary? No, Abbott Elementary's a comedy, actually.
Oh, wait, let me look this up. Oh, yeah, I know this one.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty good. I watched it.
I also watched Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I've been catching up on Doctor Who. Been watching Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, Sesame Street on the occasion.
Okay, you're smoking crack. What? Sesame Street?
Listen, it's a very good show when you're like, I just need to turn my brain off. And just, like, have something going on in the background. Because it's a kid show, right? You don't need to pay attention to the plot of a kid show. Nothing's going to happen between Big Bird and Elmo that you're going to be like, oh, shit, oh, I missed this, damn. I need to go back and rewatch it. No, it's a kid show. They found the Triangle of Destiny. It took them a bit, but they found it.
You ever see the... Speaking of, like, Sesame Street, this kind of reminded me of this. Peanuts. Do you ever see the memes about Snoopy on, like, whole side quests to take out the Red Baron?
Snoopy's in, like, D-Day Normandy. Meanwhile, the other kids are, like, going out for a nice trick-or-treating. That was weird. I wonder why they decided to do that.
It was hilarious. Was weird, though. It was just random for the kids' movies.
It was. And then they come back and they go like, where were you? It's like, like, okay. It's like, this man just literally went out there and just, like, shot down, like, 12 enemy airplanes. And then he just comes back in, cooks a whole turkey, and goes and has Thanksgiving dinner. Huh? Well, I'm sorry, what? Like, oh, damn. All right.
He got that dog in him.
He is quite literally a dog. I hope he has that dog in him. If he has anything else in him, I'm afraid immediately. I'm adding Casablanca to my watch list. Casablanca was a good movie.
Have you seen Chinatown?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not seen Chinatown. I've also not seen Seven Samurai.
Definitely watch Seven Samurai.
Or Scanners.
I don't know that one.
Or Godzilla vs. Megalon. fact, I haven't seen a lot of good.
Have you seen The Lord of the Rings?
No. I've seen The Hobbit. Okay. It's only because a friend of mine was like, hey, watch The Hobbit. It's like, alright. So we watched it together. It was quite the time. It's an alright movie. Thought it was good. Seen Spirited Away. That's a classic.
Yeah. I don't think it's my favorite Studio Ghibli film.
What would that be?
Castle, maybe? I don't know.
Probably. It might be Princess Mononoke.
Spirited Away is probably mine.
This is also tying back into me and not knowing anything beyond 2010.
Watch Porco Rosso.
Movies. Porco Rosso?
Yeah, it's Studio Ghibli. It's got an anthropomorphic pig, and at some point, somebody calls him a pig, and he says, well, at least I'm not a fascist.
Damn.
Have you seen A Silent Voice? Have either of you seen A Silent Voice?
I read the manga. I never watched the movie.
Dang. It's good.
I've also never seen the movie or read the manga. I know, like, actually, I only know of A Silent Voice because of cinema therapy. It's the only reason why I know that. Outside of that, no clue.
What is this called? Have you seen The Garden of Words?
No.
Have you seen Your Name?
No. Yes. That one's great.
Have you seen Harlock Space Pirate?
No.
Some of it?
I thought the animations were really cool. Yeah. Harlock Space Pirate.
By the way, Michael, I'd like to mention Harlock Space Pirate has been running, I think it's been an anime since like the 70s or something.
I mean, I've never seen it. I've seen Halo Legends. And I've seen The Matrix. Like, Matrix Legends. I saw a completely legit copy of that.
Are there any anime or anime-style movies that you guys are looking to watch in the future or that you recommend?
Yeah, like, hundreds. Watch Cowboy Bebop and watch Full Metal Alchemist. Those are my two recommendations. Later this year, Dead Demon Destruction is coming out in a movie by Ino Asano. He wrote a manga and just got turned into an anime. I'm currently reading the manga, so I'm gonna check that out. It's the only thing I'm waiting for this year.
Awesome. How about you, Michael?
Once again, I haven't seen any recent animes.
What was that one anime that you are really looking forward to? You had mentioned it to me before in the past.
The one done by the Lazarus? Guys who did Cowboy Bebop? Lazarus, I think that was it. Let me look.
Lazarus?
Yeah, because I was making mention, I was like, this is going to pop off big. But, like, no one's going to really know about it or, like, question it. Where is it? Was it an anime? Yeah, Lazarus, yeah. Yeah, I was like, this is going to pop off and be big. But, like, everyone's going to sleep on it. I had you pin it. Because I was like, I want to be the first one to brag about it when it comes out. When is it scheduled?
By May.
To be announced!
The production staff stated that the project is completed by 2024, but did not promise the series would release in that year.
Oh,
so it's supposedly supposed to be done this year, but may or may not come out this year. It'll come out definitely probably by 2025.
Well, if it helps, I don't know when my movie's coming out.
MAPPA has been just owning it in the animation.
They only produced bangers, like, just exceedingly good anime. Some people did not like what they did with Chainsaw Man. I don't know what they're talking about, though.
I've never seen Chainsaw Man.
Give it a watch. It's about a guy who just wants to touch boobs.
Like I said, never seen anything apparently past 2010. This is going to become a running, probably a running gag on this series. Yeah, as for like, what do I recommend anime-wise? I feel like I'm vastly underqualified. Especially because, you know, once again, mine tend to be much more like Lucky Star. What is it? Like Clannad. It's like that was it. I was really like, never really watched much anime. Kind of watched a bit. Went, man, this is great. And then just like slowly went to go do other things. And that was it.
And that Lucky Star is good.
Lucky Star is pretty good.
Yeah, check out Nichi Zhou. I don't know how it's pronounced. Japanese is not my language.
I actually watched a bit of Nichi Zhou. It was great.
How about you, Zach?
Yeah, Zach. What's going on? What are you interested in?
Yeah, Zach.
I don't think you say it like that.
Come on, Zach.
Come on.
Let me.
I mean, I'm interested in the Lazarus series that, you know, we had talked about. Obviously because according to Michael, it's gonna be a banger, you know. So I'm just like, okay, I'll have to check that out when it gets released. But as far as other anime series or movies that, you know, excited for release, I believe Studio Ghibli is releasing another movie. I think they're working on another, actually they're right now. And I'm curious to see what that project will be. But I don't have a lot currently on my list. There are some, I guess, series that I'm looking forward to a watch. I'm interested in actually watching Berserk at some point. Not the reboot. Because I don't think...
So you're talking either the 98 or the 2012 one.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the reboot one wasn't as good.
Yeah, it was, we don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about Bruno. Oh, no.
I forgot to mention this. They're coming out, I think it's coming out this year. Somebody is making the Black Swordsman arc, which has never been fully made into, it's never been fully adapted. Someone is making that. This year.
Oh, okay.
Also, I think Studio Ghibli is done making films. I could be wrong, though.
Not for real, something? Though? Like, they're definitely not. I definitely think they're still doing. Let me see.
I mean, you might be right. Like, I heard that the main guy, Miyazaki, was gonna retire, like, 20 years ago, so...
He was gonna retire, like, every time he makes a movie, from what I hear, and then, like, he doesn't retire, so...
Like, since the 90s.
Okay, so then they came out with The Boy and the Heron. And I don't know what they're doing now, because they just released that literally, like, 2 months ago. So, we'll have to see what they do, if they make another movie, right? So, what do you think about Junji Ito's art style?
Creative and disturbing.
I think back in, like, 2013, 2014... Him, Konami, and I can't remember the other guy, should have let them all cook with PT. Silent Hills would have been a fucking banger, still talked about to this day.
How did they release such an amazing trailer? Or not trailer.
And then Konami turned around and said, no.
Like, PT came out of nowhere, and they did nothing with it.
Konami dropping the ball. Challenge impossible.
Dude, Resident Evil picked it up. They were like, oh shit, people want this? Resident Evil 7.
And now we're talking about Resident Evil. No, never talking about Silent Hill.
They haven't done shit with the franchise since then.
They're coming out with that, what, mobile game?
Oh, was it Norman Reedus? Was that the other person?
Yeah, well, Norman Reedus was like going to be one of the... Oh, was going to be the main character, but I'm sure it was someone else. Hold on, let me find it. Because it was like
Kojima.
Distant. It was Kojima. It was, oh, that was it. It was Del Toro. Oh, it was Kojima, yeah. Del Toro, and Ito. And it was gonna be like the hypest game that like anyone had ever seen. And then with the protagonist of Norman Reedus, and they just Konami just decided, no, we're just not doing this. And everyone's like, are you kidding me? Like, this could have honestly put Silent Hill back on the map, and they just decided not to do it.
So, during 2015 San Francisco Film Festival, I guess Del Toro revealed that he would no longer work on the project with Kojima because Kojima left Konami. So... because Kojima, you know, it's because this is at least what Wikipedia is telling me. It says that Del Toro revealed he would no longer be involved in the project with Kojima, presumably due to Kojima leaving Konami. So, and then afterwards, Konami later released a statement confirming the departure of Norman Reedus, but clarified the series would continue to be developed with no, you know. I mentioned the current status of Silent Hills. Days later, Konami confirmed that Silent Hill, Silent Hills, you know, PT and all that was canceled. Then afterwards, everyone was pissed off and made a petition on change.org. So people just started pulling out of it, like, you know, Del Toro pulled out because Kojima, you know, left Konami, and then Norman Reedus didn't want to be a part of it, and that's kind of what happened, I guess.
Yeah, damn. No, it was... Could have been on the good timeline. Instead, now Silent Hill is just like, oh, that's a franchise. Oh yeah, that's right. That is an absolute travesty that has happened to the series.
This is the sort of stuff that keeps me up late at night, just thinking, oh, we could have lived in a world with PT.
We could have lived in a world with Silent Hills making a big comeback and challenging Resident Evil. We could be living in a world where Payday 3 was great launch. I'm not going to get over that, by the way. Payday 3 is terrible. It's still awful. And I still have hope. I still have hope that it can get better. And every single time they've released another $20 DLC to add 3 guns and a half a map, I'm immediately disappointed again.
Yeah. We could be living in worlds with lots of stuff, but for now, it's just for us to reflect on.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about for the free episode?
Nope.
I think that I'm good, yeah.
All right, well then, Zach, do you want to take us on out of here so we can go do other things?
Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. So, thank you for listening to this episode of Introspection and Banter. It was fun doing this episode of the podcast. I have been your host, Zach.
I've been Anthony.
I've been Michael.
And this has been an episode of Introspection and Banter. Thank you, and we look forward to doing the next episode.